Hare Krishna. How is everyone doing this morning? Good? Very good. Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text, today I thought of doing text 18. Soaham priyasya surido paradevataya lila kathastava nishingha virincha gita anjas titam titar manu grinan guna vipramukto durganite padayuga layahamsa sangha. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord Nrisingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of material nation, ocean of nations. Please repeat after me. O my Lord Nrisingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service, in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A devotee's life and duty are very well explained herein. As soon as a devotee can chant the holy name and glories of the Supreme Lord, he certainly comes to the liberated position. Attachment for glorifying the Lord by hearing and chanting the holy name and activities of the Lord, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, certainly brings one to the position where material contamination is absent. One should chant the bona fide songs received from the disciplic succession. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that the chanting is powerful when one follows the disciplic succession. Evaṁ parampara praptam imam rājar śayo vidu. Manufacturing many ways of chanting will never be effective. However, chanting the song or the chanting will never be effective. However, chanting the song or the narration left by the previous acharyas, Mahajeno Jana Gatasya Pantha, is extremely effective, and this process is very easy. Therefore, in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj uses the word anjaha, easily. Accepting the thoughts of exalted authorities through disciplic succession is certainly much easier than the method of mental speculation by which one tries to invent some means to understand the absolute truth. The best process is to accept the instructions of the previous acharyas and follow them. When God realization and self-realization becomes extremely easy. by following this easy method, one is liberated from the contamination of the material modes of nature, and thus one can certainly cross the ocean of nations, in which there are many miserable conditions. By following in the footsteps of great acharyas, one associates with the hamsas or paramhamsas, those who are completely free from material contamination. Indeed, by following the instructions of the acharyas, one is always freed from all material contamination, and thus one's life becomes successful, for one reaches the goal of life. The material world is miserable, regardless of one's standard of life. Of this, there is no doubt. Attempts to mitigate the miseries of material existence by material methods will never be successful. One must take to Krishna consciousness to become really happy. Otherwise, happiness is impossible. One might say that becoming advanced in spiritual life also involves tapasya, voluntary acceptance of some inconveniences. However, such inconvenience is not as dangerous as material attempts to mitigate all miseries. So aham priyasya surida paradevataya lila kathastava nishingha vidincha gitaha anjas titarmi anugrinan guna vipramukta durgani te padajugalaya hamsa sangha. O my Lord Nrisimhadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. So, if we just understand this one verse and the purport, we understood everything. Prabhupada gave everything in this purport. And the verse is also very beautiful. Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Lord Nrisimhadev. And what he is saying? He is saying that all I want is to chant your glory. How do I want to chant your glory? How do I want to chant your glorification? In the association of exalted devotees, hamsas. And who are those exalted devotees? They are in the line of the disciplic succession of Lord Brahma. So these are the three very important considerations. The ultimate perfection of life lies in chanting the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This chanting must be executed in the association of exalted devotees. And those exalted devotees should be in bona fide disciplic succession. Preferably, the disciplic succession that is originating from Lord Brahma. So, it gives us an understanding that we are safely situated. We are perfectly situated. Are you all chanting the glory of the Lord? Are you making it a point to chant in the association of devotees like Apurva Prabhu? And are you all chanting in the and those devotees, and you are you situated in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya? Very good. So just stay on this path. Practice, keep on practicing this path, and you'll achieve the ultimate perfection of your life. The ultimate perfection of your life means, what is the ultimate perfection of life? There are various stages of perfection. The first stage of perfection is freedom from suffering condition. In the material nature, what is everyone's situation like? How is everyone situated in the material nature? The reality is, in the material nature, everyone is suffering, irrespective of his status of life. Rich or poor, old or young, famous or infamous, successful or unsuccessful, all are suffering. It is not that the rich men are not suffering, only poor people are suffering. No. Sometimes we see that the rich people are suffering more than poor people. You go to a village of India, apparently the people will appear to be so poor. But you will see one thing, that they are eating so nicely. That means whatever they eat, they digest. And they sleep so well that if you go there at night and try to wake them up, it will be very, very difficult. And these two, the greatest luxuries of life, eat nicely and digest your food, and sleep at night. That is the life, life meaning that's the life free from anxiety. Now you go to some rich man's house, what will you find there? Often you'll find that the man cannot sleep at night. He's so much in anxiety. He has to take drugs. He has to take all kinds of drugs to go to sleep. And he can't eat. He can't even eat. Like one god brother was telling me, Chandrasekhar is pointing himself. Badrinayan Prabhu actually was telling me about one of his acquaintances. Like, that man is extremely wealthy, extremely wealthy. But all he can eat is a biscuit dipped in tea, and he eats. That's about the only two biscuits and a cup of tea is only thing that he can eat. Because his stomach is in such a bad shape that he can't take any other food. So what's the point in having all the money in the world if you can't eat? Apparently it seems that they're in a very, very wonderful, luxurious, comfortable situation. Big house, palatial, living condition. Has all the facilities, so many servants are serving him, so many people are surrounding him. He seems to be so powerful, he seems to be so influential, he seems to be so so exalted in so many ways, but he can't eat and he can't sleep. So the point is that rich or poor, everyone in this material nature is suffering. Like one very common phenomenon was that I noticed in the mid-70s, I was traveling, and I was, those days I used to come across many Americans, young Americans on the road, and they all were going to America, going to India, because they felt if they went to India they'll become happy. And I used to tell them, you know, in India everyone thinks that if they can go to America, then their life will become successful. Their life will achieve the ultimate success if they could go to America. So this is the condition. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. The Americans are thinking that happiness lies in India, and Indians are thinking that happiness lies in America. So that is the condition of material existence. The point is, in the material nature, no one is happy. Now, how to become how to mitigate our suffering condition, how to become really happy. Now, Krishna consciousness is a process, the assurance has been given, that when you accept this process, then the first thing that happens is your suffering is finished. No more suffering. You accept Krishna consciousness, no more suffering. And your life becomes auspicious. These are the two things that happens as soon as you take to the process of Krishna consciousness and start practicing it properly. And an example has been given, just like a seed, when it falls on the ground and sprouts into a seedling, the first thing that happens is two leaves come out. So similarly, if you compare devotional service to a creeper, and we receive the seed of devotional service from, by the mercy of Krishna and spiritual master, and you plant it in the field of your heart, and if your heart is properly cultivated, if your heart becomes the fertile ground for that seed of devotional creeper, then it will fructify. If you properly water it. You put the seed on the ground, you plant the seed on the ground, sow the seed on the ground, and then you, if the ground is fertile, and if you water, then what will be the natural consequence? The seed will develop into a seedling. So if we accept the process properly, by receiving the seed of devotional service, bhakti lata bij, and plant it in the ground of our hearts, and water it by proper hearing and chanting, then what will happen? The seed of devotional creeper will sprout into a seedling. And that seedling will have two leaves. The seeds sprout into a seedling with first two leaves. And those two leaves are, one is Kleshagni and the other is Shubhada. Cessation of all suffering kleshas. Kleshagni. All the sufferings are destroyed. And Shubhada, the other leaf, brings all auspiciousness to our lives. So that is the proof of the efficacy of this process. Personally, I remember that how I had that experience. Not even before planting the seed or even before receiving the seed, one thing that happened to me when I was reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and not books, just one book, The Nectar of Devotion. That's the first book I got. And when I started to read it, and while reading the book, I made up my mind that I will take to Krishna consciousness. I'll surrender myself to Srila Prabhupada. And then, just on its own, a very wonderful feeling prevailed in my heart. That now that I am surrendering myself to Krishna, I don't have to worry about myself anymore. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Controller. He is controlling everything. He is the Creator. He is the Maintainer. And I am surrendering myself to Him. So from now on, I don't have to worry about anything. And this feeling that I won't have to worry about anything anymore just gave me such a feeling of total freedom from anxiety. For the first time in my life, I realized what peace actually meant, because I felt so peaceful inside. I don't have to worry about anything anymore. I am surrendering to Krishna. And And since then, it is becoming, this feeling is becoming more and more convincing that yes, Krishna is taking care. Krishna is taking care. I have surrendered myself to Krishna, or I won't say I have surrendered myself to Krishna. I can at least say that I am trying to surrender myself to Krishna. And Krishna is taking care. So this is what Krishna consciousness is. And Prabhupada has created such a wonderful arrangement. Wherever we go, we get the association of devotees. Before, while I was coming to North Carolina this time, I thought I'll come and stay at Krishnadasa's house and I will just have a quiet and relaxed time. But now you can see, like, you know, Krishna is showering such abundant mercy upon me by sending you all to associate with. And this is this is the reality. Wherever we go, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are just getting the association of devotees. And this association is very, very important. This association is actually the source of joy. Association means relationship. Today I'll be giving, I'll start a short seminar on this association actually. The title is Relationship, our real hankering, our actual hankering. Everybody wants to have this relationship. And this relationship is the foundation of our joy. Especially favorable relationship. And in today's world, we see what is lacking is relationship. People are trying to develop relationship, but they cannot. Because life has become so unreal and dishonest that people cannot have relationship. Because the relationship, the foundation of relationship should be honest. That the relationship that we are developing should be genuine, should be heartfelt. And there shouldn't be any tendency to exploit. The moment there is an exploitation means cheating. So when that cheating tendency creeps in, or the cheating tendency becomes obvious, then relationships break. Like we find, so many marriages are breaking up today. And what do we have to understand? We have to understand that, first of all, they don't know what relationship is actually. That is the problem with the materialistic society. In the materialistic society, this society is based on very intense tendency of exploitation. And that's why there is no relationships. Like in today's world, what's happening? The children, when they grow up, they leave home. They just wait to get their independence. 18 years, they just shoot out of their house. Why? Because they see that there is no reason to be in the house. The parents are not really giving them the love and affection that they deserve. The parents are going their own way, the children are in their own way, they don't like to be in the house. But they are just there because it's a kind of a compulsion, they can't help it. And the moment they get the opportunity, I'm not talking about all the children and all the parents, but mostly, it's a very common thing in the West, I have noticed, that you reach certain age and you leave home. And rather, I have seen in some cases, if the children don't want to leave home, the parents actually push them out. You are 16, why are you staying here? You fend for yourselves. But, so the very foundation of the family life, parents and children, there is no relationship. So if they didn't learn how to develop relationship, how will they be able to become situated in that relationship? Then boys and girls meet, they become attracted to each other, and they make so many promises, I love you, I can't live without you, I'll die if I don't get you. But then, we are seeing what is happening in most cases. Like, the marriages are breaking off, and friendship is breaking off, like, you know, it's all, there is an acute shortage of this relationship in this world. Why? Because they do not know how to develop relationship. Why? Because they are missing out on the main point. The main relationship should have been with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the root of everything. Just like in a family, the father is the central figure of the family. It's with the father in the center that everyone is related to each other. It's with the father in the center the brothers and sisters are related to each other. Then with that personality in the center, the grandchildren are related to each other. So that is how the family, the foundation of the family is the father. But if in a family they drive the father out of the house, can they develop relationship with each other? No, their basic relationship, the foundation of their relationship, the basis of their relationship was the father. Now when they drive him out, then how can they possibly have relationship with each other? Now if we go into the real absolute context, then we see who is the center of everything? Krishna. And if we disregard him, then how can we possibly have relationship with anybody? If our relationships are not based on Krishna, then our relationships will be based on our bodies. And with that relationship, the first problem is the bodies are temporary. Therefore, these relationships are also temporary. Then if these relationships are based on the fundamental demands of the body, then automatically it is leading to exploitation. Actually, in the materialistic context, when people say, I love you, what they actually mean is that I want to exploit you. I want to enjoy, not I love you, I want to enjoy you. That is the bottom line. And when the other person realizes that, oh, it was a bluff. You are lying. You said you love me, but now I am seeing you are simply trying to enjoy me. You are simply trying to exploit me. So I don't want that relationship. And that's why Prabhupada is pointing out that the ultimate solution to all the material problems, our suffering condition, is Krishna consciousness. We have to bring Krishna in the center of our life. We have to develop our relationships with Krishna, through Krishna. Not directly you and me, no. Me, Krishna and you. Just like in a family, me, my father and you. I am your brother. Why? Because you happen to be the son of my father. Similarly, in the ultimate context, we have to understand that we have to develop our relationship through Krishna. And it will automatically happen when we become Krishna conscious. When you become Krishna conscious, that means when you understand Krishna, then we can also see how everyone is related to Krishna. And then the relationship automatically develops. Because everyone is related to Krishna and I am related to Krishna, therefore I have a relationship with everyone. And that is why a devotee cannot possibly have any enemy. Devotee cannot develop any kind of a negative attitude towards anybody, because he sees that, just like the brothers cannot develop any kind of animosity among each other if they are properly situated in the brotherhood. Some brother may act in an irresponsible way, but the other brother will say, okay, after all he is my brother. And especially the elder brothers automatically develop this tolerance and merciful attitude towards the younger brothers. Oh, you took my toy. Doesn't matter. Okay. You're young. You don't know. So you like it. Although, you took it without telling me. It's fine. Or you broke my computer, which meant so much to me. Doesn't matter. You didn't know that. And Dad will buy me another computer. So that is how the family feelings or really the actual brotherhood and sisterhood develop. With the father in the center. People talk of mercy, compassion, forgiveness. The point is, how can you cultivate that without developing a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? On the other hand, you develop your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all those qualities will automatically become manifest. They'll automatically become manifest. Just as it has been mentioned in the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Jashasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Akinchana, Sarvai Gunais Tatra Samasate Shura. One who has developed his unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the divine qualities automatically become manifest in him. Automatically become manifest in him. Sarvai Gunais Tatra Samasate Shura. So devotees do not have to separately cultivate these good qualities. All they have to do is just develop their relationship with Krishna. And all the good qualities will automatically become manifest. Because his heart will be transformed. His attitude will be transformed. He will see things in a different light. So that is the solution, ultimate solution to all the suffering conditions of the living entities in the material nature. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Chandrasekhar.
How do we understand the suffering that you experience in spite of having taken up the process of Krishna consciousness as seriously as we can?
Yeah. We may have taken to the process of Krishna consciousness, but we have to really consider whether we are completely Krishna conscious or still body conscious. As long as we have body consciousness, the body's discomforts will cause us suffering. But we have to understand that because we have accepted Krishna consciousness, our body consciousness has considerably reduced. And as a result of that, our suffering condition has considerably reduced. It would have been much worse. If we did not have Krishna consciousness, these conditions that we are going through would have been 100 times, 1,000 times more unbearable. You see, what is the cause of suffering? The cause of suffering is soul's entanglement in the body. The struggle for existence. What is the meaning of the struggle for existence? The soul's remaining in the body, the soul has to make all kinds of arrangements. And that is the struggle, for the soul to remain in the body. Now, the more body conscious we become, the more intense becomes our suffering condition. Whereas by being Krishna conscious, at least a good part of our consciousness now has shifted from the body to Krishna. May not be completely shifted, but at least some parts have been shifted. To that extent we have shifted our consciousness from body to Krishna, to that extent we have become free from our suffering condition. And someday if we are completely free from body consciousness, yes, then we won't be affected by the body consciousness at all. There won't be any suffering at all. Like Jesus is being crucified on the cross. Now, did he display any suffering? Did he cry out? On the other hand, he is just praying to God the Father that please forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. If a person is suffering, does he behave like that? So his body is being nailed, his hands are being nailed onto the cross. But he is reacting in such a way. That is a clear indication that his consciousness was not in his body.
Another question along that. It seems that Kali is teasing on the relationship problems of neophyte devotees.
Kali is what?
It is feasting, having a feast.
Or feasting.
Feasting on the relationship problems of neophyte devotees, and it seems difficult to get out of the neophyte stage.
Yeah. So, when you get into gross materialistic consciousness, you become an agent of Kali. You come under the influence of Kali. So, do you want to remain in that situation? No. So, the suffering condition that are caused by all kinds of unpleasant situations increases the influence of Kali. So what to do now, Ramananda? How to counteract that situation? By becoming Krishna conscious. And you are saying neophyte devotees, why only neophyte devotees? Even we find that many senior devotees are also being victimized by this influence. Therefore we have to go out and remind them, and that is the need for, that is the meaning of preaching. Preach, remind them that if you go that way, you will suffer. Therefore don't take that course. Become Krishna conscious. So ultimately it is, we have only two options open to us. Either you become Krishna conscious or you become you become victimized by Kali's influence. Which one do you want? Naturally you know. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes, Pallavi? Well, you know, we have to understand one thing, that we are in a practicing stage. We haven't become perfect, right? Therefore, while you are practicing, you cannot expect the result that comes out of the perfect stage. You see, a perfect pure devotee, who has become 100% Krishna conscious, will not have any problem with relationship with anybody. But until and unless we come to that platform, as long as we are in an imperfect, our Krishna consciousness, our relationship with Krishna, our Krishna consciousness has not become perfect, then we will have some imperfection in our relationships also. Like somebody will react in a way which is not quite Krishna conscious. Or the point is, somebody will react and act in a way that a pure Krishna conscious devotee will not act. But because that person is not pure Krishna conscious, pure devotee, his or her action may be inappropriate. Now the question is, how am I going to react? How our reaction will be? That reaction will again be according to the degree of our Krishna consciousness. If we are pure devotees, then we will act in a certain way. But if we are not a pure devotee, then we will act in some other way. But try to make the best out of the bad bargain. Relationships are being affected. People are acting in a certain way which is causing us distress, causing us anxiety, causing us anger and so forth. Now, should I react that way? Should I become distressed by that, or should I become angry? No, if it is not beneficial for my Krishna consciousness. Therefore, let me act in a way. I may not be able to act in a complete pure, like a pure devotee, but at least let me react like a devotee, as a devotee should do, or as it is expected of a devotee. My point is, if there is such conflicts, and if we start to fight, that is not proper. Then what's the difference between the materialistic people and us? So we have to recognize that we are actually standing on a different platform, a platform which is completely different from a materialistic person. And that is the point of our being spiritual. Yes, Apurva Prabhu, you had a question.
Well, was looking at the beginning of your talk, you were talking about family and developing a bond with the father. So we have a situation in our society where many of our young children, they're brought up basically in a family situation. So there's no real training for grown children of being accepting austerities and being dedicated to Christianity. So what do you see as a possibility?
Possibility of?
Maybe just creating that in the family situation, or?
You see, the ultimate consideration will be the situation of our institution. Situation of a spiritual institution. Like, I mean, if I throw it back to you, I mean, did you grew up in a family? Did you get a brahmachari training in your family life? Right. But then you came to Krishna consciousness and became a brahmachari. Not because of the training from your family life, but the platform that you came to was so conducive that the inspiration and guidance and proper motivation was there, right? So what actually ultimately will matter is the situation that we are creating for them. And of course their mentality also is another thing. But the thing is that, you know, like, we have to make things attractive for them. Let's go back to our own youth. Why did we join Krishna consciousness? Because it was exciting. Because it was something intensely desirable. So we can't just tell our youth that you have to take to Krishna consciousness and give a whole bunch of philosophy. Right? It's not going to impress them. We have to make it practically attractive for them. Then we don't have to even tell them anything. They will come running. So my point is, make Krishna consciousness attractive. Then only people will come. If the atmosphere is real morose and gloomy, do you think anybody in his right consciousness will come and join? Rather, what's happening is that those who are in that situation, they're running away from there.
Another question by Rowan on the right.
Yeah.
After Indra stole the horse in the sacrifice of Dhruva Maharaj a few times, Dhruva could immediately forget and be friends with Indra. How is that possible?
Because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. He just looked at Indra. I mean, as I was just explaining earlier, he saw, he's my younger brother. He is just attracted to this toy and he is stealing it from me. Okay, take it. I'll give you another toy, come on. If you're so excited about the horse. But I hope that someday you'll grow out of this toy business and become Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Gaur.